This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right, thanks for being here this afternoon as we cover a lot of different things of interest to Douglas County. And from the Ford Family Foundation, the new president and CEO, Kara Carlisle. Thanks for coming in.
Hi, thank you for having me.
And Mandy Elder in here as well from the foundation. Thanks for being here.
Hi, Kyle. Thank you.
So, Kara, I guess, first of all, talk about your background and some of the things you've done over the course of your life.
Sure. Well, I've lived a lot of places, which people oftentimes find interesting. I was born in Seoul, South Korea, lived in rural Indiana, rural Louisiana, California, Minnesota, and worked about a decade in New Mexico. And all of those years really were working on things to make the community better. That's been the focus of my life. Even as a child, I used to organize children in our neighborhood in the grassy area across from our apartments to try to help build community. So it was in me from the beginning.
Wow, that's amazing. And I'm trying to picture that as you were a take charge person before you were even out of grade school.
Yeah, my mother will tell you plenty of funny stories, probably many embarrassing stories. So I'm glad she's not here today.
Now, I understand that you were even a Los Angeles city commissioner at one point.
I was in my mid-20s, and I really didn't understand all of what city commissioners did at the time, but was really honored to be appointed. And it was really born out of a lot of conflict that started out in the 60s in the Watts riots, if for those of you who know that. And then also in the 90s, after the Rodney King verdict came out, there was another big explosion socially. And I was able to sit on a commission that was the neutral body that helped to respond to conflict in communities. A lot of those around class, geography, race, identity. So it was a real opportunity for me to learn and to be part of bridging across differences.
So it seems like sort of early on you knew you wanted to be involved in what is really an unusual combination of career choices.
It's true. You know, I think I was really fortunate as a young person to grow up in a family that all of us, my mother and my father, we were really hardworking. I was taught to be really honest and deeply compassionate. And so we were a foster family for children growing up. We had 23 infants in our home. My mother was from
at one time.
But six. So two, my mother and father. I was started out in a very small town in northern Indiana, and we were two children adopted from Korea. My parents had two children, all boys, and then my mother wanted us to be a foster family for children who needed a home before they found a permanent home. So we had two at a time. So I grew up with me and five brothers. So I'm pretty tough, even though I wear a lot of dresses.
Wow. So what led to you coming to the Ford Family Foundation? What was it about this opportunity that got your attention?
You know, I've worked the past almost 20 years in what's called the social sector. It really is lots of different ways to think about change at different levels. And so I've been at two different foundations, one in Minnesota more recently and one in Michigan. And what I really loved about the Ford Family Foundation was its mission, and maybe more importantly is the people. Every single person I met here at the board, at the staff level, and every partner I've met has a deep sense of mission and a deep sense of purpose. And that's not always the case where you have such deep alignment. And so I think for me, every single person I met, I just kept getting inspired by that. This is a place where people are focused not on themselves, but really on how do you create the most amount of positive change momentum in places across rural Oregon and statewide with our scholarship program and our arts program.
Before you came here for an interview, had you ever been here before?
I had been to Astoria. I took the train up from Southern California in my early 20s, the Starlight Express. And then I had been to Portland a couple times, but no, I had not been to this part of the state.
So you fly in, you drive down, you look around. What did you initially think?
It was the most beautiful place, and I know that that's not a unique thing to say because it's just true. My husband and I, when my daughter and I came out, we were driving from here to the coast into Coos Bay, and we felt like we were in a movie. It was just that gorgeous. And it felt like you could see the stars. The air was fresh. The grass was green. The pasture land was just gorgeous. And so it felt like there was nothing about it that made us feel anything else but just like we were in almost like a magical place. And it was amazing.
What time of year was that?
That was in late, like April, May.
So you still were dealing with rain, though.
You know what? I don't know. The gods were on our side. There was not a drop of rain. It was just beautiful.
Interesting. So you've gotten here. You've gotten to look around, get involved in things. When you look at the foundation and its background, have you ever had an opportunity since you've been here to go out to any of the Roseburg Forest Product facilities or learn more about sort of some of the legacies of Kenneth and his wife who kind of led all this?
Yeah, actually, I was able to go on a trip just about 3 weeks ago with a group of community leaders down to the Dillard plant, and it was beautiful. My father's actually a carpenter, and so I was reminded of the smell of wood. It was just, but it was phenomenal, the amount of wood and trees and the technology. It was really phenomenal. And I've been doing some reading here. I read a book called The Deep River from an Oregonian around the development of the timber industry. And I left with this sense of just deep respect and appreciation for the hard work and grit that helped build this place and helped build America. And so it was just beautiful to be there. As you know, and I'm sure most of our listeners know, the Ford Family Foundation really originated out of a gift from Kenneth and Hallie Ford that now exists independently as a private operating foundation. It's actually one of the largest rural foundations in the country. And it's a really important leader for other communities all across the country who are trying to figure out how do you begin to think about the future of rural. And there's so many assets. And I think I'm really excited to share what has been built here in Douglas County and by other leaders and staff before I arrived.
Were you surprised to find this type of foundation in rural Southern Oregon?
I don't know that I thought about it as surprised. I'd known of Ann Kubich before. She had been a really big thinker on the East Coast and had run a lot of programs that I was really, really wowed by early in my career. So I knew her. I don't know if I felt surprised, but it is. I hope that we can inspire other places to invest in the way that the Ford Family Foundation has in rural communities and lower population centers.
What are maybe some of the top things about the foundation you feel like it's important for people to know that maybe even people that have lived here for a long time don't know?
Well, one of the things I think I've learned here is people probably don't fully understand the scope and scale of the work. So we work at multiple levels, and so we do things that people would know of here around like parenting classes, and we support the Y, we support FFA, the Future Farmers of America. So you'll see the name pop up in different places in town. People probably know that there's a deep commitment to Douglas County and to the core counties and the families and communities that helped to create the wealth for the Ford Family Foundation and for Kenneth and Hallie. I think the other piece that people probably don't know is we have grants in almost every county in this state, which is a significant contribution and unique across the country. Most foundations do not fund rural, especially at the level that we do here in Oregon. So we kind of know folks all over the place that are pretty amazing as we think about the future. So I think those are some things. Anything else you would add, Mandy?
One thing that I would add that I don't know that people know is that our foundation was established to exist in perpetuity. So that means forever, which is a really long time. And so what we're building now, what we're creating right now as an institution and as a community will exist as a resource far, far into the future for rural Oregon and for Douglas County.
And as well, maybe people don't know the fact that you've got staff outside of Douglas County in other places.
Yeah, we have about 50, 55 staff. We have about 6 staff located all across the state, as far out as La Grande in eastern Oregon. And we have an office of about a dozen or so in Eugene that operates probably a more well-known program, which is our scholarship program. And applications are actually now open for those of you and your family, and that it's for all ages. So if you're thinking about going back to school to earn a degree and you're I met a scholar that was in her 50s most recently and wanted to become a nurse. And I would encourage you to take a look at that. Or if you're a traditional high school student who wants to apply for a four-year degree, or if you're at a community college and you really feel like you want to transfer to a four-year university, lots of different pathways for you to apply.
All right, we're going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. More when we come back. Kara Carlisle, new president and CEO of the Ford Family Foundation, the interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, and it's 1246 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson at 1. Tomorrow, we talk about Umpqua Actors Community Theater and kind of a year in look at what's ahead for UACT. Ashley Chitwoodian, along with Executive Director Melody Schwagel. That is on tomorrow's program. Today, the focus is the Ford Family Foundation. The new president and CEO, Kara Carlisle, is in. Has it been like to move to a smaller area?
It's been wonderful. My daughter is at Roseburg High. My stepdaughter just moved here from Israel, actually, and she's going to start in the second semester, and she loves it. So I think for folks who are coming from other places, we see so many beautiful places, and the downtown is fantastic. We can see the stars every night from our home. We live a little bit outside of town, and I love to drive across Garden Valley to see the wineries and vineyards. So. And I like that we actually don't have to shop as much. I'm not a big shopper. My daughter, you know, a little different, but I was a teenager, but I like it.
And what about less traffic?
Oh, yeah. There's a little bit of traffic around, you know, around lunchtime and around the end of the day, but nothing like L.A. So, yeah,
and
it's great.
What are your plans for your first year here?
You know, I inherit a beautiful staff and a very thoughtful strategic plan. And I know you had Ann Gubich, my predecessor here before. And I inherit a lot of goodwill of folks all across the state who have been touched by a program or an opportunity from the foundation. So part of my goal is to really get to know the place and the people at a more intimate level. And part of it is actually to help push all of us to think and dream bigger about what is possible. Philanthropy is a very, very unique institution. We don't have to raise money. Our job is to actually try to be bold and help people feel more courageous. And part of that, in my experience, is helping people feel like they can be vulnerable and not have everything figured out. And so part of my job, both at the staff level and in the community level, is to listen for what people really deeply think is possible and help to figure out how to make that happen.
Do you feel like a lot of time in rural areas here in Southern Oregon and in Northern California, people feel trapped, not location-wise, but opportunity-wise?
Yeah, I've listened to some of your previous interviews, and I think that there are lots of ways that people look at maybe limited choices, not as much freedom to do what they want or opportunities. And I think that's probably true in comparison to what I understand was the thriving community that helped build a lot of the wealth of the foundation. But I also really believe that no matter the population size or the place, you have extremely complex thinkers, really talented people. And part of our job is to help really buoy that here locally and to figure out what do people want to imagine for the future and help us get there.
Are there whole other areas of philanthropy that you would like to maybe get to?
Can you rephrase it so I understand?
Well, in terms of you've got a vast amount of different programs and things you're doing now, but are there things that you're like, yeah, we should do this too?
Well, I would say I think we should continue to stay responsive. So if you're a grant seeker or you have an idea anywhere across rural, you know, the rural counties, 33 counties here, you can apply any day. So I think that'll stick. I think I do want to understand, are there ways that we can use the passive capital, which is $1 billion in the bank, to help create opportunities to give loans or other tools for communities who are waiting on checks from, you know, any sort of government entity with all of the money that's come out of Washington. So I'm trying to figure out, are there ways that we can use that resource in a way that helps to advance our mission? So that's one. The second one, I think I'm one of five or six CEOs of foundations across the state. We all have been in, I think the highest tenure is 2 years. And so there's a huge opportunity to think at a much larger scale. How can we take all of the things that we know and really try to make a larger impact on policy, on dreaming bigger, trying some things that maybe we would be reluctant to try on our own. So I'm excited for that.
So are you in contact with those folks then?
I've met eight of the 12 major foundation leads since I've been here. And I think it's a fabulous group of folks with a lot of commitment to build and grow a future for families and children and communities all across this state.
What about getting connected with the government leaders, the business community around here, things like that?
I've met quite a bit with some local leaders. I think you might have heard of it. Envision Roseburg is a group of individual leaders who are coming together to dream about the future. A number of our grantee partners, Thrive Umpqua, fantastic. And I would love for folks to stop by or send a note. My email is on the website, to stop by and help me understand a little bit more about what you're dreaming. I think collaboration is the key, and we're at a moment where the silver tsunami, if you know that, not you, of course, but the silver tsunami demographically, we have a huge opportunity to both learn from and apply the insights from multiple generations and also to help share and mentor folks as they come into new leadership. So it's a huge opportunity to take the best of what we have from all directions and chart a path to the future.
How much does our current technology really help what you could do as a foundation? You know, I think about the early years and talking to Norm Smith years ago, when one room and one desk and all of that and a typewriter. There's just the technology we have today really enables a lot of things.
I think, hats off to Norm and hats off to Ann, because each of them occupied a fundamental, vital part of our journey. And so I think for technology now, we see that through what you're hopefully going to see over the coming years is utilizing communications in a way to help get stories out, to inspire action, and to help continue to push out things like the Oregon by the Numbers and other research and data. And we're looking at AI to try to figure out how do we utilize AI to help make things more efficient and effective to reach more people. So I think there's some challenges with it, as you know, the whole change of media information landscape, but huge opportunities for more voices to tell more stories of what makes Oregon who we are and what we can be.
Now, you mentioned earlier the scholarship opportunities for students. What other opportunities are going on currently?
So right now we have open our Ford scholarship application, which is, like I mentioned before, for all kinds of different profiles of students. Those applications open up December 1st, and they will close on March 1st. And so would encourage people to share those with loved ones, think about it yourself. And then right now here in Douglas County, we have a specific program for teachers. And this is for you to begin to think about what would you like to do to enhance your development as a professional. And so it's, I think that closes mid-January, but feel free to check out our website. We have information there and a press release that went out last week.
And what's it like to, what's a typical day like for yours or one?
A lot of meetings. I got a text from a former governor on Monday morning. A lot of connecting with people who care about the future of Oregon, and a lot of dreaming and a lot of pushing the staff to say, what do you really think? Well, let's push it. What else can you bring to that? So a lot of mine is I feel like I'm a coach and a besider. So I stand beside folks that try to be a little bit more bold, a little bit more experimental, and not to be afraid of failure. We should be pushing ourselves to try things that have never been tried before. And so I push us to do that pretty readily and to make tough choices. I think leadership is about making tough choices, but making tough choices for the benefit of others.
And coming out of a pandemic, do you see a population that's under a lot of stress?
Well, I think that overall, I don't know that there's any segment of the population that doesn't struggle with stress. Students, teachers, professionals, frontline workers. Mental health has become more and more prevalent. I would I would venture to guess that mental health has always been an issue, but more hidden. And so I think we're now able to talk more about the stresses that we have, and then to try to provide some services and responses to parents. You know, we do a lot of work with parents and who are in high stress situations, who are trying to not take that out on their children, who maybe themselves have experienced that. So that's a bit, been a big part of our program.
Kara Carlisle is the new president and CEO of the Ford Family Foundation. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks so much.
1257 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.